Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. We've been talking for the last few weeks about being called higher. Somebody say called higher. And that's what God wants us to do. At Hope, we're building families and raising leaders and being called higher, you know, and that the question is, what does that look like for us, especially in our family life? So I ask Pastor Corinne, my beautiful wife, to come up here and us talk about this together, because Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So what does that look like with our faith walk? What does that look like when people are looking at us and to us? What does that look like in our family life? So I invited my beautiful wife to come and share on this topic with me today.
Thank you. Thank you. You said beautiful twice. I feel so loved.
Beautiful, thank wonderful, you. Excellent, awesome.
I appreciate it.
Elevated.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I believe that being called higher impacts everything. It's not something that is compartmentalized to one area of our lives. We're no longer living for ourselves. Higher call requires stretching, serving. And if you take a moment, just take this journey with me. When you think of sports, there's different tiers, right? You have people that are just getting into it, athletes. You have athletes that have been doing it for a while, or maybe they're average, and you have the above average athletes that everybody wants on their team. When we look at the spirit realm, there's beginning tier, there's like intermediate tier, or doing an average type of walk, and then you have above average, excelling in every way. And I believe that God, with this scripture, challenges us to be the best version of ourselves, to really follow the call that he's given us, not somebody else's call, the one that he's given us, our mandate. So being in that high call means that he's given us this specific set of skills that's meant not just to help us get ourselves further, but to help the world around us. We're called to help people come into the kingdom of God.
I think when we pursue God, it's like, you know, we see, we can look around and we can say, well, I could be entry level.
Yes.
I could be average. I could be elite, right? I could be something. And pressing towards the mark of the high calling, I think, is something that we should all strive to be. And I think when you've been called higher, it requires you to step into a leadership mindset. Being called higher, I think what Paul is talking about that, and even on a personal level, there are people that are going to look to you. There's a spouse that's looking to you, or a family member, or a child that's looking to you, and or a relationship, and you're asking yourself, how do I do this well? How do I press towards the mark of the high calling? How do I pursue God in an excellent way in my personal life? How do I live out this Christian faith in a way that's genuine, that's authentic, that's not just on Sunday, but you can see it in every area of my life, because, you know, my spouse is watching, my kids are watching, the relationships around me are watching. So what does being called higher look like on that family, on that personal level?
I think we have to recognize our first ministry is to our family. And I want to frame this properly, because sometimes people get this out of balance. Sometimes people give themselves fully to building their family, building their home, and forsake the building of God's kingdom. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, where people give themselves fully to ministry and forsake the home. And it's neither one is correct. The scripture gives a directive on this. And in 1 Timothy 3:5, it says, if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? And so we're all called to manage our homes well. We're all called to be living on that level where home is in order, and we're also being in order. We're living that high calling of stepping into whatever leadership role that we need to take to help build God's kingdom.
I've seen people make a mess of this both ways, and so yeah. We have to watch out for those potholes of either you know, putting our family last and pursuing the kingdom without realizing God has an expectation of us at home. And then also the other is true as well. Some people, they make it so much about their family that it almost like becomes an idol to them, and they're no longer really participating in kingdom activities and building the kingdom. So, but it's not always easy, I find, when people are looking for you to set the example of Christ. And when we're Christians, believe it or not, like it or not, people are looking to you to see the example of Christ. There's an assumption that you're going to be walking like Christ. You're going to be talking like Christ. And so that thrusts us into a leadership type of position among people in certain groups that we walk in. When we're the Christian, then everybody are looking at us to set a Christ-like example. And that challenges, I find that challenges us to mature and not do the same stuff we've done before. Anybody ever been held accountable by being a Christian? Just by being a Christian? Because knowing that people are looking at you and looking to you for some type of example, there's a responsibility that comes with that. There's a need to grow up and mature, and even at times, leadership. Jesus said it like this, Matthew 5:16. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." So when we act like Jesus, we're shining our light for those that need it. And that begins to sound like Christian leadership. Now, you might not see yourself as a leader, but the moment that you are shining the light in dark places, you're in a leadership position. The person, I don't know if you've ever been in a dark, dark place, and somebody turned on a flashlight, but I've been, one of the anniversary trips, we were, I think, out in California, and they took us down on this trip into this cavern, and we went deep and deep and deep into this cavern, and when we got down there, they turned off all the lights. It was the scariest darkness that I've ever experienced, you know, no starlight, no light. And you're waiting for somebody to have the leadership to turn on some type of light, even a flashlight, even a cell phone light. And so when we let our light shine in dark places, God allows us to step into a leadership type of position. And Jesus said, "Let your light shine." Look at somebody, say, "Let your light shine." Let your light shine. And so when we're at home, it's no different. We still have a responsibility to shine our light. I think that sometimes can be something we get confused and we think, oh, well, when I'm home, I don't have to work as hard because it's just my family. And the truth is we should actually work harder to be consistent with shining the light. We shouldn't look like Jesus to everybody else and then look like the old man back at the house. And so, right, that's not giving our family. All right, you can clap for that. That's good. This is an opportunity for us to practice Christian leadership in the home. We're setting an example, right? With our kids, we're setting an example for what it is to be like Christ. And even when we mess up, or even if I mess up with my wife, I'm able to stop, own it, make changes, and move forward. That's leadership. When you make a mistake, don't cover it up. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to pretend like you didn't make the mistake. Stop. Own it. Clean it up. Make changes and move forward. We must demonstrate a clear example of Christ in the home. And this is just part of shining our light. It's just part of shining our light. We have to make it clear what the character of Christ looks like. You know, to our kids, to those that are looking up to us, that are new in the faith, they're looking to us. We have to make a clear example of what Christ looks like. And even when we fall short, we can still clarify it and say, that wasn't it. What Dad just did, that wasn't it. I'm sorry, I messed up. But this is what we're pressing towards the mark of. We're pressing towards the mark of Christ Jesus. So that, to me, is what integrity looks like. When we mess up, first we talk about it. We talk about the... We talk about the example of Christ. We model the example of Christ. But then when we mess up, we stop, we own it, we make changes, we move forward.
Scripture talks about this. Proverbs 28:13 says, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy." What a grace-giving God. But if we look in the world, I mean, you see this all the time. Somebody does something, it hits the tabloids, and suddenly, like, it gets messier and messier when people try to conceal things. Everything that's done in secret will come out to light. I mean, there's really no escaping it. And I think as followers of Christ, we're working on being people of integrity, the same consistent person all the way through, same person in behind closed doors, same person in front of our kids, same person at work. You want to be the same person through and through. And that comes with surrender to Christ. But I agree. It's important to own our mistakes. When we look at the beginning with Adam and Eve, what was it? Pointing fingers. It wasn't me. It was her. You know, the snake told me to do it. There has to be an acceptance of responsibility and an owning of that.
You know, I love that proverb that you brought out, right? When we conceal a sin, it will not prosper. But if we confess a sin, mm-hmm. address it, he'll show us mercy.
Right.
And you know what? A lot of times people will show us mercy. Our family will show us mercy when we say, hey, I missed the mark. I'm going to own it. I'm going to do better. And so when we walk with Christ, look, people are going to look at your marriage. Mm-hmm. People are going to look at your marriage or your family, and they're going to draw their own conclusion of if that connects with the Christian walk, if it connects with the character of Christ or it doesn't connect with the character of Christ. And that's where leadership comes in. Again, being a Christian places you in different leadership arenas. If you are a married Christian couple, you are going to be put on display by God to others that are not saved. If you are a Christian parent, you're going to be put on display by God to others that are not Christians that are trying to parent. And so that's an opportunity to shine our light. Being a Christian places you in these leadership arenas. When somebody looks at your marriage, do they see the love of Christ? Or do they see something else? Do they see bickering? Do they see his forgiveness? Or do they see holding grudges? Do they see gentleness? Or are we harsh? Do they see kindness? We are called to show his love, his forgiveness, his kindness. We're supposed to show these characteristics that we see in Christ.
I think as we grow in God, he helps change our perspective. And when we're dealing with those that he's placed around us, God has placed those people there. And so when we remember that, we remember, hey, this is God's son. This is God's daughter, right? And it helps you to change the way you perceive people, not just to be somebody that you may be in conflict with, but somebody that I need to make sure I'm treating them well as a peer, an ally in the kingdom. Children, how are you stewarding the children that God has placed in your life? It doesn't have to be your own children. It could be nieces, nephews, grandkids, whoever it is that God has placed around you, how are you treating them? Sometimes we like to give off that, or project, that's a good word, that we have things together and we're living this godly life, and then it takes a moment for us to berate somebody in the car on your way to church or cuss the kids out. Fill in the blank. You know, you want to be a consistent person, somebody that has the fruit of the Spirit in your life, that you can show kindness, show patience with each other at home as well as it starts at home and then it goes out from there.
People want to know if it actually works. So they're going to look at your marriage. They're going to look at how you treat people, the way that you raise your kids, the way that you treat your relationships around you to say, does this actually work? Does this person actually apply the teachings of Christ? And how does that change them? That's how we shine the light. And when we shine the light through our marriages, when we shine the light through our families, you know, it's not only showing that you have a healthy family, you have a healthy marriage, it shows that the teachings of Christ work. So when we have godly marriages, we're letting our light shine. When we have healthy families, we're letting our light shine before all men. So we take it back and we think, you know, marriage is God's idea. It's His creation. So when we do it well, we're showing, we're giving honor to the Creator, and we're showing the fruit of the Spirit and how we love each other, and His light shines through that. And people are going to see our good works, and it's going to bring glory to the Father.
I think remembering that He is the Creator, if He's the grand designer of all these things, it's easy to just go back to Him and say, God, I want You to be the center of our home, be the center of our marriage, be the center of this family, and submit that to Him. We need to pursue His guidance, and He gives it to us through His Word. And when we measure ourselves by the Word, when we measure ourselves by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, it's a list. Do we exemplify those things? And the truth is that all those gifts are the evidence of the equity of our relationship with God. Like, I want us to really grab that. It's evidence of our relationship with Him. If we have, there's different levels, you know, there's you're kind of surrendered, there's almost surrendered, and there's fully surrendered. When you fully surrender, the Holy Spirit prompts you and says, we need to work on this. And so I encourage you, with whatever relationships that you're surrounded with, to seek the Holy Spirit and for God. It's a simple prayer. People overcomplicate things, you know. When you invite God, you say, God, I need You to help me. I'm lacking patience with my spouse. I need You to help me. I'm lacking kindness with my coworker. I'm lacking gentleness with my children. I'm sure many parents can say that's not a problem for me. But, you know, I feel that's important for us to be reminded of. It takes us inviting Him into the center of it all.
Being called higher means your family should look different, yeah. Right? The way you treat your kids in front of people and behind closed doors, you know, do you have grace? Also, do you have discipline, right? Some kids, it's like, right, there's no discipline. Other kids, there's no grace. And so it's important that we have that balance. When you're walking with Jesus, your family should be built different. It's built on different values. It's built on the Word of God. It's built on the fruit of the Spirit. And people should see that. They should see that fruit that's alive. Yes. One of our kids, they saw one of our friends and who's a believer, but he was shouting at his kids and he's getting really angry with them. They were playing some sport. And when we left, one of my kids asked me, Dad, is that guy really a Christian? And it was an honest question for them, but it makes you stop and say, well, how does my Christian walk look from the outside? Yeah. You know, or how do my kids rate my Christian walk, yeah. Right? It's one thing what everybody else sees. It's another thing entirely what your family sees or what your spouse sees or what your close, close friends see. Are you consistent in the shining of the light? You know, because here's a new newsflash. People are watching, right? Your friends are watching. Your kids are watching. Your spouse is watching how you live out your Christian walk when you're not all dressed up on Sunday, right? They're watching how you live your walk. And Paul paints us a great picture that shows us how we should do it. It's in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example. And that's what we should be saying to people around us. That's what we should be saying to our kids, to our spouse. It's follow me as I follow Christ. Not follow what I'm saying. Follow what I'm saying and what I'm doing, you know, because I am pressing towards the mark of following Christ.
To those questions that you asked, I think they're humbling questions, and they can be very sobering as well. As a parent, as a spouse, when you're not measuring it by your grace standards for yourself, we cut ourselves slack. But if somebody on the outside is able to look and say, you know what, you're really kind with everybody else, but you're not kind to me. You know, when we think of it in those terms, it's very truth revealing. And maybe you're not married yet, maybe you don't have kids. People, I want to reiterate, people are always watching. And once somebody knows that you're a believer, there's certain conclusions that are made. And I know for me, one of the things is I consider myself an ambassador of Christ. So who I am at home needs to be the same all the way around. It needs to be a reflection of Christ. The way that Christ has dealt with me, the way that my Heavenly Father has dealt with me, it challenges me to reduplicate that in the relationships around me. And so I think we should take that on as a challenge. Once you say yes to God, once you enter into His kingdom, you are on a forever journey of growing in leadership. And I think sometimes we disqualify ourselves and we don't think we're a leader because we don't have that title, or maybe we just don't feel we have the skill set. But God has made it really clear in His word about that we should be leading other people into the kingdom. So with that, even if you're intimidated by it, guess what? God used a bunch of people that were intimidated in the word that we can read that they felt unqualified, but He's the one who qualifies us. So in that, that's how we continue to press toward the high call in our personal lives, is just give it to Him and say, God, develop me as You see fit. I want to be the most excellent version of myself that You have made me to help others.
Amen. And here's a question, and it's something for homework, right? Go home and ask yourself, what fruit do I need to work on in the home? What fruit do I need to work on in my home? When I'm home, when nobody else is watching, it's just the family, or it's just the spouse, or it's just, you know, Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that's what we're pressing towards. That's what we're aiming towards. That's what we're saying, Holy Spirit, help me develop this type of fruit. So what of those fruit do you need to work on in your home? Is it patience? Is it kindness? Is it gentleness? Is it love? Sometimes our words are too harsh, and we need to work on the fruit of kindness. Sometimes we're being too hard on our spouse or our kids, and we need to work on the fruit of gentleness. Yes, even men, all the men in the room, we need to work on gentleness and kindness. That's not just for the women, right? Jesus showed us, hey, we should have that kind side, that side of gentleness. Yes, He flipped over tables and He whipped the people out of the temple, but He also had the gentleness, the kindness, as a part of who He was and who He is. So we have to ask ourselves, what does this need to look like on me? What does gentleness need to look like on me? What does kindness need to look like on me as a father? What does gentleness or patience need to look like on me as a husband, as a spouse, as a friend? Anybody still working on patience? Yeah.
I feel that we're all tested with patience. And it's funny because when you pray the prayer, like, God, help me be more patient, it's hard. Like, it's not an easy prayer to pray, or maybe in the moment it is, but then you realize, like, oh my goodness, what did I ask for? Because you will be tested in it. But it's such a mark of maturity when you can be patient through something and when you see the growth. So when you ask God for Him to work on you and to help you in an area and you really give into it, like, it's beautiful to see how far He takes you. To be able to, I don't want to say tolerate, but be able to weather certain things that you couldn't do before. With the annoying relative, with the spouse who sometimes rubs you the wrong way, with the kids that sometimes act up. You know, we're imperfect people. Things come up. But we are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible for us to be a reflection of Christ. And I have heard wonderful testimonies of people that have truly surrendered and have won their spouses over with the kindness of Christ. So I just say that to remind you, there's nothing that God can't do when we really, really allow Him. And He always does the work in us. And so I invite you to invite Him to do the work so that you could see that beautiful high call at in action in your life.
What I'd like to do today is I'd like to ask everybody to stand with us. And I'd like to pray for all the families, all the marriages, everybody that's here. And I'm believing for two things for you. Number one, that you would bear much fruit. There's something powerful, something very fulfilling as a Christian when you know you're bearing fruit. You know you're hitting the mark. You know you're hitting the bullseye. In your family, in your marriage, that you would be full of the fruit of the Spirit and the relationships, that people would see that fruit. And secondly, that God's light would shine through you. That people would see your good works and it would glorify the Father. They'd see your good works, whether you're directly talking about Christ or not, they're going to see your good works and it's going to bring God glory. Will you join hands with somebody beside you? Let me pray for you. God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here today, each and every family that's here today, each and every marriage that's here today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would cause them to bear fruit, much fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God, not just a little bit of fruit, not just an average level of fruit, but a great amount of fruit, an abundant harvest of fruit in their life. God, I thank you, Lord. And as people look to them, God, that they would accept the call to go higher and they would not back away from leading, God, in dark places, that they would shine their light for you.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.